come to an end today of our tour through the Psalms. And fittingly, Psalm 150, the doxology that ends this book. Hear now the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessings on us now as we have heard your word. Lord, take that word now and apply it in our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Lord, press it into our hearts. Lord, help our minds to understand the truth of your word. Lord, help us this day not to hear clever words of men. But Lord, may we indeed see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. May we indeed hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. If you are a newspaper reporter or perhaps do a blog, newspapers are sort of getting passe in our day. You might be doing a report on the internet or some news service. The classic formulation for your writing is the old who, what, when, where, and why. That's what you need to tell in the story or in the article. We come today to the end of our somewhat brief tour through the Psalms, 18 weeks, but we have examined the different types of Psalms and what is a fitting end to that. How do you summarize all the different types of Psalms, the great diversity which we've seen? There has been much great diversity, I would say. We've seen hymns of praise all the way to the imprecatory or the cursing Psalms that cursed the enemies and wished all kind of evil upon them. We have seen Psalms for the Sabbath day. We've seen laments, personal laments. We've seen laments of the community. We've seen prophetic liturgies. We have seen psalms of encouragement. We have seen penitential psalms, like Psalm 51, where we were drawn into a recognition and repentance of our sin. We have seen this great variety of psalms, and how can you possibly encapsulate all that? How can you possibly sum that up, and much less in six verses, as the psalmist does? But this is not a puzzle at all for the psalmist. He knows exactly how to do this. Praise the Lord, he says. That is the summation of what we've seen. All the different types, all the different genres, all the different applications of the psalms. He says, praise the Lord. And this is his summation. But, like a good reporter, he not only says to praise the Lord, within these verses he tells us where and why and how and who is to praise the Lord. And we want to look at those things in turn this morning. Where are we to praise God? He says we are to praise Him in His sanctuary. Well, we are here. We are gathered in His sanctuary to praise the Lord. It is fitting that we do this. Just a few weeks ago in the Psalm for the Sabbath day, we read the words, "It is good to praise your name, O Lord." We gather as God's people to praise Him. We are to praise Him in His sanctuary. We are to praise Him in His temple. We are to praise Him in His church. We are to praise Him in the temple of our body. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of God?" He wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote to them in the second letter to the Corinthians and reinforced it. He says, "We are the temple of the living God." So the Christian has two places, two opportunities to praise the Lord. Here, corporately, gathered together as the family of God, we can join together in praise to God. But day by day, you have the opportunity to praise God in this temple of your body as you go forth into an unbelieving world with truth and obedience to God's Word. The psalmist also says that God is to be praised in His mighty heavens. Psalm 102 and verse 19, the psalmist says, "Praise God in His sanctuary. God is in heaven and looks upon the earth." Heaven is God's sanctuary also. And the praise to God in heaven never ends. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, 100 million angels, straight from the Bible, 100 million angels sing and say day by day. They never stop day and night proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." So God is praised in His sanctuary. Why do we praise God? Well, the psalmist says there in verse 3, there are two reasons: His acts of power and His surpassing greatness. This is why we praise God. The Lord is to be praised for His acts of power. Those acts of power are seen in creation, in providence, and in redemption. In creation, we see God's power. He established the sun and the moon. Man cannot count the stars, but God calls them all by name. He spoke, and they came to be. God established the foundations of the earth. In this and many other words similar to this, we have seen the psalmist over and over praise God for His acts of creation. Psalm 104, "How many are Your works, O Lord?" the psalmist cries out. How many? We can't even begin to count them. We have not even identified or found them all as yet. And the Lord did that with His mighty power. In addition to creation, the Lord demonstrates His power in His works of providence for His people. The Psalms are rich in extolling God for His deliverance from Egypt, for His preservation of His people in the wilderness, for His mighty acts of power in the conquest of the promised land, for His acts of power in sustaining and providing for and protecting His people. God's acts of power are seen in redemption. Psalm 16 and 22 and Psalm 110 give us a foreshadowing of the great work of Jesus Christ, of the sacrifice He made for His people, of His kingship, of His rulership of all, and how by His mighty hand He delivers His people from sin and death and hell. We see God's power over and over and over. In the psalmist, we have only just scratched the surface in these things I have mentioned. This is the barest representation of his power. And yet these things I have said to you are incomprehensible to man. They are beyond our ability to comprehend, to absorb, to fathom how God could do such things. His power is infinite. His power is so incomprehensible to us that he can say the word and everything you see comes into being. That he takes man and breathes into him the breath of life and man becomes a living soul. That he sends his Holy Spirit into your heart and you are born again. There is a new creation there. It's incomprehensible to us how this could be. And yet, in our world, we honor people who have power. We honor presidents and kings and senators. We always look up to the fastest runner, the strongest man, the best skater, the fastest driver. We elevate these people to positions of praise and exaltation, and their power is fleeting. You may be the fastest runner today, but you won't be next year. There will be a new runner who will beat your record. And yet we praise these people. How much more should we praise God, who is infinite in his power? We also praise God for his exceeding greatness. And that greatness throughout the Psalms we have seen demonstrated with two words, his goodness and his holiness. God's holiness is integral to his being. God is holy. Day and night, the living creatures cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holiness is essential to his being. It is his being. There is no defining it. He is holy. That is as incomprehensible to us as his power, the holiness of God. How can you describe or put parameters on that? He is holy. And he is good. God's goodness to us. The psalmist over and over cry out of God's goodness to us. How good he is to us. I quoted from Stephen Charnock, the great Puritan theologian a few weeks back, but I think it bears repeating. He said, God's goodness, in God's goodness are comprehended all his attributes. God's goodness is the basis for all of his acts by whatever name they may be called. But they stem from his goodness to us. Jesus said, God alone is good. This is our God. He is good. He is holy. And as we think upon these things, as we comprehend these things, just to meditate for a moment on his power and his goodness should make your heart swell, should make your heart full of praise to God. If you just think for just an instant upon these things that I've just barely scratched the surface, things that I couldn't explain to you if I had all day, if you just meditate for a moment upon those, you should break out into praise to God. How are we to praise God? The psalmist has some suggestions. It makes up the bulk of this psalm. We're to praise him with trumpets and harps and lyres and tambourines and dancing and strings and flutes and cymbals and another kind of cymbals, small cymbals, big cymbals. Everything we have. This piling up of terms that the psalmist uses shows us several things. it shows us first that we should use everything at our disposal to praise the Lord. We should make use of all the means that we have to extol and praise our great God. It also shows us we don't have enough to praise God. We will be in heaven for eternity because all eternity will not be long enough to praise God for His exceeding goodness to us and for His mighty power that delivered us from sin and death and hell. How long, what can you say? How many terms can you pile up to thank God for that? You know, there's been all manner of musical instruments developed since this psalm was written. There are instruments the psalmist never heard. But if we take all those instruments, we add them to all the instruments the psalmist had, and they join in a great symphony of praise, it is still not sufficient to praise our God. That's the point the psalmist is making with these instruments. Now, having answered the where and the why and the how, the psalmist answers for us the question of who should praise the Lord. And this should just jump off the page at you. Because if you just look at this psalm, every single line starts with praise, 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 until we get to this verse. Let. It should stand out because it's so different. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The praise is there, but the order is changed, and it should stand out from all this praise, praise, praise. Who should praise the Lord? Everything that has breath. That is the command of the psalmist. That's the instruction, the exhortation that we have here. But we well know that not everything that has breath praises the Lord. We know that not all who have breath praise the Lord. Even though the very breath that they draw this instant is because of God's common grace to them. There are billions and billions in this world today, right now, who do not praise God, who never give Him thanks, who never praise Him for His greatness and His goodness and His grace to them. There are billions in this world, billions and billions, who offer up praise to a God of their own making. This is an affront to the Holy God. They make something of their imagination that they call God, and they offer up praise and worship to it, to an idol of their own making, and they refuse to praise the Lord God Almighty. What an affront this is to the triune God, to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All things, the psalmist said, must praise the Lord. And the good news is that one day all will. The Lord Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power. And every eye will see Him. We see in the prophets, even those who pierced Him will see Him. Those who put Him to death will see Him. Those who blaspheme His name. Those who use the very breath that He gives them to deny Him, to denigrate Him, to ridicule Him. They will see Him coming on the clouds of power. And Paul says in Philippians 2 that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we read there just this morning from the Apostle John in Revelation 5. And I heard every creature on earth and in heaven and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, every creature on earth, under the earth, in heaven, on the sea, all that is in them, every creature. I saw on the TV the other night this one of these science shows, and there's these sea cucumbers on the bottom of the ocean a couple miles down in this perpetual darkness. And they made the statement, I don't know if it's true, but there are so many of them that they say that might be the most populous life form on the face of the earth. They will all join in praising the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, they will sing. Praise and honor and glory and power be to you forever and ever. So to God's people, the psalmist winds up the exhortation here. To those who read the words of this book, to those who read this psalm, to those who read the book of the Psalms, to those whose hearts have been changed by the work of God's Holy Spirit, to those who have experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the exhortation is clear. Praise the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Lord, how we praise You and thank You. Indeed, Lord, we would ask for more capability, for more abilities, for more wisdom, for brighter minds and sharper, clearer voices to cry out Your praise. Lord, may we make known in this dark world the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the further praise of You, Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit that is within us. Lord, may all praise and glory and honor ascend to You, both now and forevermore. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.